You are watching Game Time Decisions. I am Gabriel Moretz. Welcome to the program that puts its money where its fantasies are on the Fantasy Sports Network. Countdown to the first pitch of the World Series as the end of the world as we know it has arrived. This can't be true, can it? Like, really? Like, you know, today, you know, I wake up, I'm like, hey, World Series starts today. And it's the Cubs versus the Indians. And it's like, no, this really isn't happening. Is it really happening? Is it really happening? Is one of the curses going to come to an end? Evidently so. Unless, like, the World Series doesn't finish, like, the curse is going to come to an end. And somehow, hey, that's a possibility. So Dave Malinsky is going to join us straight from the Strip in Las Vegas, Nevada. Dave's a great baseball analyst, handicapper. We'll run through the gauntlet with Dave Malinsky. Mike Cardano is going to join us. Mike's a big baseball guy, had great baseball picks all season long. I'm looking forward to his take on the World Series. And, you know, where I stand right now, you know, the Cleveland Indians look pretty tough, man. You know, that bullpen is devastating, but it feels as though this Cinderella story is nearly complete, and the Chicago Cubs are going to end this curse. We've got a long list of facts about this curse, like really crazy type of stuff. You know, only like one dude has ever been the manager of the Chicago Cubs to win a World Series. His name's like Frank Chance. And this dude, that happened so long ago, he was born before the light bulb was invented. Like, that's the type of stuff we're talking about right now. The last time the Chicago Cubs won a World Series, there was only 46 states in the union. Like, it's really, really like crazy. You know, the Cleveland Indians, well, they've been to the World Series. They've been there. They lost. You know, they were one out away, of course. Jose Mesa and the Indians fell short to the Marlins. So we're going to spend a lot of time talking about the World Series. I'm considering an NFL ban on the show today, actually. And yeah, you know what? I declared this on my podcast last night that I can't talk about this crap anymore. I don't know if it's going to help or hurt the ratings, but like, really? Like, what are we going to talk about? How bad the NFL is? But, you know, that's what we're going to talk about with the NFL today, how bad the NFL is. But I really do want to boycott it, so to speak, because they're tipping off the basketball tonight. Dave Malinsky will also talk some NBA basketball. So, hey, we got a ton of stuff to get to. Full slate of NHL hockey. I got a couple of puck picks for you. As long as the game doesn't go to a shootout, we'll be okay. I don't win shootouts, all right? It's as simple as that. Just like the Houston Texans don't win road games. What is it now? It's hard to keep up with this crap. What is it? Week 7 of the National Football League is now mercifully come to a close, and it's like deja vu all over again, man. It's like I'm standing here every day telling you, well, I didn't think the game could get any worse than last week's game. Oh, but it did, didn't it? As Brock Osweiler rolls back to Denver, took the money and ran, literally and figuratively, and he ran like a coward all night on Monday night. I'm really starting to find out why Bob Geldof doesn't like Mondays, and neither do I. Well, good job, Brock. You know, I was at a UFC event years ago. Caleb Starnes was fighting against Nate Quarry, and the Starnes basically ran around for 15 minutes. That's what Osweiler did. The definition of a fighter who showed up, a big prize fight, not to fight. You know, you knew that the Denver Broncos wanted to take your big-ass, big bird, goofball head off, and, you know, you weren't going to let him do it. Because, you know what? You dumped the football off. Captain Checkdown. You threw the football away quicker than those crackheads do when they're running from the cops on cops. And they throw the rock away? That's you with the football. You know, seriously, like, I've seen crackheads hang onto the rock, like with Florida, Tallahassee cops bearing down on them, on cops. You're a sad sack, pathetic quarterback, but really, I've never even said this about anyone before, you're just gutless. Like, what a punk-ass, cowardly performance. I haven't seen anything so cowardly on TV since Rick nearly chopped his own kid's arm off. But hey, that's besides the point. I know people are getting upset that I spoiled The Walking Dead. Here's a novel concept. How about you watch it live and shut the hell up, all right? The world doesn't stop for people that didn't watch the show, okay? Anyways, and I know, I'm being a little bit hard on Rick right now. Because, you know, everyone would have died, right? So if Rick, like, sort of just chopped, me personally, I would have just taken the axe and chopped Negan right in the junk. You know, everyone's going to die anyways. See, you're living in the apocalypse, dude. It's all over. They just, like, crack the skulls of your buddies. But that's another story. But speaking of which, I wouldn't mind, like, just, you know, taking Brock Osweiler and, like, throwing him in a pit with the walkers for a little while. Maybe we'll see if he can run now, Brock. And after the game, he's all, like, nonchalant about it. You know, the National Football League ratings suck. And the Chicago Bears are on Monday Night Football on Monday. That's a great job, guys. Because we all want to see the Chicago Bears play football again. Like, really, this is the fourth time in 8 weeks. Every second week we got it. Oh, here's your Chicago Bear update, guys. Yeah, update. They suck. They still suck. How many times do I need to see the Chicago Bears? I never thought I was going to say this, man. But thank God LeBron James is back. I'd hug you right now, dude. I'd like hug. Like I really would. If I saw DeMar DeRozan, I'd just be like, oh, man. Oh, it was horrible. It was awful, dude. It's been like 2 months of Brock Osweiler and like the Hoyers in the world and Derek Anderson throwing interceptions from the 2-yard line. The league is terrible, man. It's awful. Like at this point, even fantasy players are getting screwed. How you feeling, DeAndre Hopkins owners? How good is that? I got screwed over last night, and this happens every week now. I got screwed over last night by my Trevor Siemian prop because the Houston Texans suck so much, the Denver Broncos didn't have to do anything. Just like the week before, I got screwed over my prop because that jackass Ryan Fitzpatrick sucked so hard they had to take him out of the game. That's the NFL for you. Dear NBA, thank God you're back. Sincerely, NFL fan. Game Time Decisions on the Fantasy Sports Network continues. We are live, and that was a little explosion of rage off the top. And yeah, I know, like, little, like, you know, shocking that I ripped on Brock Osweiler, but how could I not? I actually wanted to do my intro and do a sort of, I should have done like a nice sort of poetic and serious intro about the Cubs and the World Series and the Indians and all that type of stuff. And I was going to do it, and I was going to spin off into the World Series and into the NBA starting, but instead I just sort of got stuck like Brock Osweiler. But something I didn't get to off the top that I would have, but I started, you know, I nearly have a heart attack during these intros, is the fact that last night Brock Osweiler threw for the second least yards ever in NFL history for a quarterback with 40 or more passing attempts. The only person that was worse ever was Jesse Palmer, who's actually a great television analyst. Great analyst, really cool dude. My buddies have partied with Palmer. They've gone to Vegas with Palmer. And they told me it's like hanging out with Hugh Hefner. But that's besides the point. Let's bring in Dave Malinsky, who's like hanging out with Steve Wynn in Las Vegas. And you're the king. I know you're buddies with the mayor. And you know everybody. But have you ever met Steve Wynn before, Mr. Malinsky? You ever met Wynn before, Steve?
Well, first we should say, from a Vegas handicapping standpoint, the equivalent of saying Brock Osweiler isn't very good is to say that if you walk out in the rain, you'll get wet.
Yeah, he's like the Motel 6 of hotels. Like, you know the Motel 6 by the airport on Tropicana and Colval, Dave?
Oh, yeah.
Like, right there where Tupac got shot outside of. Like, that's like the, we compare the hotels in Vegas. Like, but Dave, you know, it's one thing to struggle and stuff, but to me, it was just a cowardly performance from Brock last night. He, you know, he just dumped the ball off immediately all the time because he didn't want to get hit by a bunch of Bronco players that were tweeting all week how they were going to kick his ass. So he just, it was a cowardly performance, in my opinion. He never stood in the pocket, sucked it up. He never let his receivers get open. It was captain check down all night long. And as I just stated, Dave, you know, second least passing yards in NFL history for a quarterback that threw more than 40 passes in a football game. What, 131 yards.
Yeah, we can set a different perspective, though. Let's take the Denver side of the equation, because going into last night, that was the best pass defense in the NFL. But consider this. They were number one despite facing Cam Newton, Andrew Luck, Andy Dalton, Jameis Winston, Matt Ryan, and Phillip Rivers. If you face that group and you're number one statistically, you are going to destroy a bad quarterback. So, yeah, Osweiler was bad. It lets me know that Denver might be historically good. If you take the quarterbacks they faced and take their stats, they're on pace to maybe be the best pass defense single season in NFL history.
Yeah, suffocating. And, you know, I wasn't planning on this, but we've got a couple extra minutes today, Dave. So quickly on this, how about similar situation with the Vikings on Sunday? People, like, from the outside, they don't watch the game, think, oh, look, the Vikings got their ass kicked to the Philadelphia Eagles. But it was a similar situation. They terrorized Carson Wentz. He only averaged, like, 5.6 yards passing attempt, which is, like, that's great next to Brock Osweiler, nearly double what Brock Osweiler did. But a similar situation, but their offense just couldn't get on track. You think the Vikings bounce back on Monday Night Football against the Bears?
It's going to be an issue all season with the offense in that they don't have any standouts. So they have to go out and manage games and grind and gut things out, which they can do against most teams because their defense will control the flow. The problem is if they ever do get behind in the second half against a good defense, and this is a good Philly defense, Vikings can't make up ground. So I think they get back on track against the Bears because the Bears are supposed to produce a touchdown with their own defense against Jay Cutler.
All right. So we're going to talk some World Series baseball and some NBA basketball with the professor Dave Malinsky. So much stuff to get to. We can't get to everything in the sports world, but obviously with the World Series and the NBA tip-off, I want to get there with you on this, Dave. I got a list of facts here, stuff that, you know, from 1908 since the Cubs have won the World Series, and it's fascinating. One of the ones that really catches my eye is the fact that there was only 46 states in the union when the last time the Cubs won the World Series. But the best line that I saw, and I just read this somewhere, that the last time the Cubs won the World Series, classical music wasn't classical. It was just music at the time.
I like that. Actually, that's adding a little different reference to it. But, you know, there are a lot of people in the U.S. right now that'll say, if we had our choice, we could easily go back to 46 states. If Canada wants to expand, we'll give a couple away.
And, in Vermont's pretty much Canada as it is, Dave. Let's be honest.
No. We're going to keep Vermont. Vermont, we can
keep. You keep Vermont.
The problem is at the other end. I mean, I used to do a lot of business in Mexico. And people would say, we're still bitter, about losing Texas to you. And my take was always, look, anytime you want Texas back, it's yours.
Well, Donald Trump thinks they're taking it right now, Dave.
Yeah, in fact, what we could do, if we could package Oklahoma and Texas as an entry, gladly trade that back.
Dave Malinsky making friends in Big 12 country right now. So, Dave, let's talk. Let's talk about the World Series here tonight. Chicago Cubs -210 series favorites. The Tribe pay +175. One thing that's intriguing me about this is, there's always a correlation, Dave, between a game one line in a playoff series and the series price. Yet this is completely skewed. Like, we saw this strange dichotomy. We've seen this with the Indians before when Kluber pitches. You and I talked about this against Boston, actually. It's a strange anomaly here, isn't it, Dave, in which you got a game that's basically a pick 'em. Kluber's +100 in game one, but the Cubs are -210 in the series.
Yeah, the problem from a pricing standpoint is what happens beyond Kluber. You've got prohibitive favorites in Arrieta, likely over Bauer in game two, and Hendricks is over $2 against Tomlin in game three. So you see some real big prices come up later. But let's talk about baseball handicapping a lot, because we always talk about the sports mediaverse and how we take advantage of storylines that get put out there. Great thing about Super Bowls or World Series is you see how everybody else thinks. And the papers you pick up, the stuff you listen to, all talks about the surge that Cleveland has been on and how good the Tribe have been. Well, you know what? For most of the Toronto series, Cleveland stunk. Players other than Francisco Lindor batted .138. Cleveland did not step up and play great. They only scored 12 runs. And and that's against a good Blue Jay pitching staff, not a great Blue Jay pitching staff. So it hasn't been Cleveland playing all that well. It's a couple of particular strengths. It has been that bullpen and the defense that were enough. Is it going to be enough going forward? I'm not sure. You know, outside of shortstop, you could make a case that the Cubs are as good or better at every other position. If Lester's better than Kluber, they're better with every starting pitcher. And as good as the Cleveland bullpen is, the Chicago bullpen can hold their own.
And, you know, it's interesting, Dave, because the Cleveland Indians have home field advantage, but it might actually be a disadvantage. It's only making a Cleveland Indians. Kyle Schwarber's in the lineup now. So it's almost it's more of an advantage. Because I wanted to ask you, how much is does the designated hitter and the lack of designated hitter correlate for each team, Dave? You know, and it's interesting. They both were pretty good. They're both very good in interleague play. The Cubs were 15-5, but they were 7-3 on the road. So they won 70% of the time when they added that extra bat to the lineup. Meanwhile, the Tribe were 13-7 straight up, 7-3 at home with the DH, 6-4 with no DH. So even the home field and the DH seems to be advantage Cubs here.
One of the things that where the Cubs got hurt just a little bit is Arrieta pitching in game two, because Arrieta might have been the best hitting pitcher in baseball this year. Yeah, I mean, Madison Bumgarner knocked a few out of the park, but Arrieta's numbers made him one of the better hitting pitchers in baseball, so they lose the edge that his bat might have been in a game 3, 4, or 5. Schwarber, purely a wild card. I don't know how you go from a couple of at-bats in the fall league to Corey Kluber. That's real, real tough. But I'll tell you what we're going to see, though. Don't put too much stock necessarily in the starting pitchers or in the lineups. We're going to see players all over the map in this series.
Yeah.
Francona's already shown he's willing to get into his bullpen in the fifth inning, and he may have to. Cubs very deep in the bullpen. Cubs, though, have the best bench in the major league. So Schwarber against Andrew Miller is a mismatch. Well, guess what? You will never see Schwarber against Andrew Miller. You've got Soler and some other right-handed pinch hitters off the bench.
Yeah, it's interesting you say that, Dave, because between Maddin and Francona, you know they both think outside the box. They're both very aggressive, and they're both not scared to pull a pitcher early, go to the bullpen early. It's an intriguing situation. And it's funny that you brought up Arrieta, because we're leaving no stone unturned here, Dave, because it's right about Francona. And he said, yeah, we're going with Kluber, and then he joked. Everything after that is to be determined. And they're not even really locked in yet, but it's interesting that Bauer stated, Dave, he said, I can't hit little league pitching. He said, I can't hit the baseball at all. And it's interesting because Josh can actually hit a little bit, 6 hits and 12 at-bats, Dave. So it looks like they'll go with Josh in game 3, and then Trevor Bauer goes in game 2 at home, so he doesn't have to hit.
Yeah, and some of that will be how does Bauer feel on game day. I think what you're likely to see, if Bauer starts, possibly Tomlin warming up to be ready to step right in, should that be the need.
And Merritt, too, right? You got to believe Merritt's going to be in the mix here once again. And, you know, that's the thing, Dave. They're going to have to roll the dice here. But, it seems like an avalanche against the Indians here, doesn't it?
Yeah, I mean, I think the price is too high to play Chicago, but I'm not going to get trapped into playing Cleveland on price alone. There's not quite enough there to convince me of that.
John Lester's a World Series champion. He's in a zone right now. He's only given up 2 runs in 21 innings of postseason play so far this year, Dave. Cubs are 3-0. Kluber's been rock solid as well in the postseason. What's your take on the total? I was looking at the weather tonight. We're looking at about 51 degrees, maybe 45 or so, a little windy. But do you think the weather has an impact on tonight and the series at all?
The fact is it's going to be a little brisk tonight, and so many good relievers, both left and right-handed makes it hard. I mean, 6.5 is low. You absolutely must hold one of the teams to 2 runs or less to win the ticket. But we could see, I mean, this could be a 2-1 game that takes 4 hours because there could be so many pitching changes. I don't want that frustration of sitting there in a 3-2 game in the sixth inning and realizing I can't get those remaining runs because the managers have fresh bullpen arms and will platoon them properly.
All right, Dave Malinsky with us. You can read his daily column at pregame.com. All right, Dave, we're just going to take a quick break. We'll come back and I'll get your thoughts on the NBA tip-off tonight, all right?
Sure thing.
There's Dave Malinsky with us. Got a quick break, so it sounds like Malinsky's liking the Cubs. Mike Cardano's got a World Series pick coming up a little bit later on. I got a bunch of picks for tonight's action. We take a quick break. Malinsky continues to join us. We talk NBA basketball with the professor. I'm fired up for some ball. Let's do it. All right, Game Time Decisions on Fantasy Sports Network continues. It is a unique situation tonight, isn't it? It's almost like sports overload, but it's pretty cool. But we got the World Series and NBA tip-off pretty much at the exact same time tonight. They actually moved up Cleveland's tip-off a half hour earlier, at least the ceremony. The games are going to be started. Basically, when the Indian players are being introduced on the baseline, which everyone loves in the World Series, you make it to the World Series, the big deal, that's when the game's going to be tipping off pretty much like across the parking lot in a basketball arena. Cleveland's rocking tonight. Scalpers are killing it in Cleveland tonight. But it puts people in Cleveland in a weird situation this evening as well. I talked off the start of the program. Thank God the NBA is back, says sincerely NFL fan. Thursday night, we've got the Titans and the Jags on national television. Well, before you hang yourself in your backyard, Hey, the Bulls are playing the Celtics. New look Celtics. And you got the Blazers and the Clippers on TV Thursday. If I was the NBA, though, I'd just make it a point. I'd just put the Golden State Warriors against every NFL game. Like, I don't know why they don't do that, but I also don't know why the NBA just didn't wait till Thursday to tip off because there was no World Series game scheduled then. But there's a lot of things I don't know. That's why we have the professor on, Dave Malinsky. Dave, it really is almost sports overload tonight, isn't it?
I honestly don't get this one. I mean, why the NBA doesn't wait until every year, 1 week after the World Series has started. I mean, yeah, we know they got to squeeze a lot of games in there, although something you and I have talked about in the past, if the NBA ever went to a 50-game schedule, they would be more popular than the NBA within NFL within about 2 or 3 years. That's all it would take for them to overtake the
NFL. They're making in-grounds right now, Dave. It was interesting. There was a big there was a story the other day that Jerry Jones actually stormed out of a meeting arguing with Jonathan Kraft and other NFL owners. And Jerry Jones is a pretty powerful guy. Like, actually expletives and not just like it was a disagreement. Like, Jerry Jones, like, left. He stormed out. And he told them all to go F themselves over the fact that the NFL won't let teams, post their players and the plays during the game days. And you know, the Philadelphia Eagles had fun with this. And, you know, the Cleveland Browns have been mocking this as well. And Jerry Jones brought up, he said, look, the NBA, Steph Curry makes a 3-point shot and it's online and being shared virally within 10 seconds after the play happens. Jerry Jones sees this. People think Jerry Jones is out there and a crazy old man, but he actually is a brilliant marketer and he sees the writing on the wall too, Dave.
It's something that the NFL just got caught asleep on, and the problem is because of the arrogance of that league, and you see so many things they do that are offshoots of that arrogance. They refuse to admit when they're wrong, to adapt. It's going to start hitting the pocket now. I mean, the TV ratings are down. What happens when the ratings are down? The advertising dollars go down. When you get hit in the pocket, that's when you have to adjust.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Roger Goodell is still making his $42 million this year. And the NFL isn't going bankrupt anytime soon. But the Anheuser-Busch's of the world and the big-time sponsors out there are paying a premium rate, and they they look at the ratings and they see, you know, I could advertise on Jane the Virgin for basically, you know, 90% less and get bigger numbers, or The Walking Dead, or, you know, there's a lot of other entertainment options out there. And, you know, we can go on and on. The NFL has some problems with the product on the field, and I think that's an issue too. But let's talk about the NBA. So the Cavaliers, Dave, tonight. So LeBron's got the weight of the world lifted off his shoulders right now. Anything that happens in his career right now is just gravy, Dave. I'm interested to see how they handle the season. Will they have a little spark coming out of the gate? Tyronn Lue wants to play run and gun basketball. Are they going to do that? And will sort of Kyrie Irving just get a lot of playing minutes and LeBron's going to sit a little bit more? It's an interesting dynamic. Meanwhile, you got the Knicks coming into town tonight. Derrick Rose has been at a rape civil trial for the last 3 weeks. You know, he's only practiced three times with his teammates. So there's going to be some chemistry issues with the Knicks early in the season. What do you make of this game tonight? Cavs laying 9.5, total 204.
I think what you got to do with Cleveland all year is look for the focus point. There are nights they're going to want to play. This will be one of them. Maybe they're going to be maybe 20 nights all year where they're really going to go after it, because they already know their path. They know that the worst that could happen possibly is they're maybe the number two seed in the East. I don't even think they could fall down to three. Prohibitive favorite to be the number one seed. So their whole focus is, let's stay fresh. Let's be ready for the playoffs. Let's put what LeBron's over under 31 minutes per game, somewhere around in there. So there are going to be a lot of nights where we're going to want to take these 11s and 12s against the Cavaliers, because they won't be going that hard. This isn't one of them, though. I think you'll see them try to put on a little bit of the show for the fans, but also send a message to the egos of Carmelo Anthony, Derrick Rose. This is the one team you don't mind putting in the dirt.
That's a good way. That's a good way of putting it. And you got J.R. Smith and Iman Shumpert, of course, former New York Knicks, too. All right, Dave. Jazz and Blazers tonight. How are the Jazz going to deal with life without Gordon Hayward? I mean, I'm a Dante Exum fan, but is Dante Exum NBA good, or is he sort of NBA combine good? Does he have the tools, or can he execute on an NBA floor? I don't know the status of Derek Favors as of right now. Game time decision. I'm hearing he's kind of out, but a game time decision tonight. You know, lane 5.5. The Blazers went 3-1 last year versus the Jazz, and they happened to play him twice in the preseason this year and beat them both times this year. Is the number two short tonight at 5.5?
Yeah, in fact, I tell you what, let's have a little bit of fun with this. Sleeper for NBA MVP, if you get the right price, how about Damian Lillard? LeBron's not going to play enough minutes. The guys at Golden State are going to knock each other.
We're going to split the vote
out of the running. It comes out to maybe Lillard against Russell Westbrook or James Harden.
Yep.
How about Lillard as maybe a sneaky guy, because he's going to get enough minutes and enough ball activity, and I think we might see him get off to an explosive start in game one.
And we can confirm now Derek Favors is actually out tonight too, David. Derek Favors, not a household name, but a guy that does a lot of the dirty work for the Jazz on the floor.
Yeah, it means that they don't have the chemistry needed to hold up well in this setting. And that's one thing Portland was developing towards the end of last season. Not the kind of talent that can get to the Western Conference Finals, but the type of chemistry that can have a good season and win at least one playoff series.
Yeah, you're right. They're a good regular season team, aren't they, Dave? You know what I mean? Because they're going to bring it. They can score. What do you think of the addition of Turner there? Take a little heat off the point guards and the guards and McCollum and Lillard.
Yeah, and that's what they're going to want to do. Let the two guards be scorers. Let Turner be a primary ball handler at times. That is going to make a big difference for them. His versatility is going to fit in pretty well with what they're trying to do.
All right, Dave, and I'm actually excited for this right now. The San Antonio Spurs and the Golden State Warriors. Now, for those of you that didn't pay attention to the NBA preseason, the Warriors stumbled. They lost their first game, and they won six straight since. So they lost their first preseason game, Dave, and then they've hung six straight wins rather casually. Klay Thompson and Kevin Durant both ranked in the top five of NBA preseason scoring, or at least they were going into the last game of the preseason, whatever. I haven't double-checked again. But long story short, Kevin Durant was lighting it up about 19 points a game. Thompson was about 18 points a game. Steph Curry only 14, Dave. So there is an interesting dynamic, and you mentioned it with the MVP, sort of like politics. They're going to split the vote. It's going to be interesting. You almost have to write them all off, and I think it puts fantasy players in an interesting situation as well, because, you know, what's going to happen, Dave? Is Kevin Durant the go-to guy now on the Golden State Warriors? Is he going to be running the offense?
There is so much to see here, because one of the concerns that I've had about Golden State is you've got too many primary scorers. And the thing is, primary scorers need their rhythm and they need their touches. What happens to Thompson, Durant, or Curry when they go 4 or 5 minutes without seeing the ball? There is that aspect of diminishing returns. The other thing, too, from a tempo standpoint with Golden State, the last couple of seasons, their backups have done a great job of pushing the pace. That's a different group now.
They have no backups, Dave. What backups?
Yeah, these reserves are actually slow. So there are some assimilation issues. Golden State will be very, very good, but it might take some time to get things figured out. But they might be very good tonight, because I'm not sure if Greg Popovich cares much at all about this particular game. He's got a lot of work to do with his team. I don't think he believes there's any chance whatsoever of getting the number one seed in the West. So I think all Pops wants to do is go out there, play well, maybe finish third or fourth, get the home court for the first round. But by next May, have the pieces fitting well enough to maybe take a run at something.
This is the first time in like forever. First time since the Cubs won the World Series, Dave, Tim Duncan's not in the Spurs lineup. How's that?
How about something tangible? Bill Clinton was president.
Yeah, so is that it?
The last time they played a game without Duncan.
Wow. All right. So we're full of history facts today. But if you're going to replace Tim Duncan, you couldn't find a better guy than Pau Gasol. Pau Gasol's born to be a Spur, Dave.
He's a good fit conceptually because he's unselfish, he's a team player, but a different style than Duncan. Duncan was that master team chemistry defensive player.
Yeah.
Gasol isn't, but what will Pops do? Pops fits around the pieces that he has. Watch this be a more fluid San Antonio team and a better offensive team. But what we're also going to be looking for is Tony Parker, even though he's going to start, is he now less than a 24-minute guy, a starting point guard who's actually possibly going to play less than half of his team's game minutes?
So tonight it's 9, and it's somewhat of a fair number. And one thing with Pop, too, he pitches the tent and moves on. And he has no problem doing that. I was looking at the numbers. The Spurs, the Warriors were favored at home by 10 or less 22 times last year. They went 19-3 straight up, 15-7 against the spread in this spot. As far as the total is concerned, the Warriors are going to be running and gunning. Yet they have a lot of holes in the middle, Dave. And you mentioned defensively, they got Draymond Green and nothing else after this. So the Spurs should be able to score pretty much at will in the paint if they feed it in the paint. And then the Warriors just be bombing away, taking the threes with Durant slash out of the basket. You know, it's risky taking the over 212 in game one of the season, but I'm taking the over 212 in game one of the season.
There is a temptation. What I'm going to want to see, and we alluded to it a little bit earlier, is what's the Golden State pace going to look like when the reserves are out there? Because that's where so many of their games really worked in the past. As you had Barbosa and these guys come off the bench and really push the ball.
Yeah.
Now games are going to get slow and stodgy when they're not out there. But here's what I'm going to look for. The first time that Pachulia actually gets a pass thrown to him in the Golden State offense, I'm not even sure if it'll be tonight. He may go several games into the season where his only touches come off of rebounds.
I'm fascinated to see how Steve Kerr handles this. And maybe he's been playing possum and he's got a surprise rotation and a strategy to this. It's going to be very interesting. One thing we know it'll be more interesting than some of the NFL football we've watched. Dave, I really appreciate the prolonged appearance on the show today. Thanks for helping us break down the NBA tip-off in the World Series, man.
Hey, good luck, everybody.
There's that Dave Malinsky. Read him over at pregame.com. You'll get smarter in a hurry. Mike Cardano joins us next. We'll be right back. Game Time Decisions on the Fantasy Sports Network continues, and I wasn't planning on having a debate as far as whether a Bears balls were real or not, but that's a debate we're about to have. Let's bring in Mike Cardano right now, who's not on Skype for one reason or another.
Because I heard about this topic, I decided to beg off.
Yeah, I know. I figured you'd be an expert in bear junk. So, can we get the picture up, though, guys? Here, let's just start. I'll get cut right to the chase here. We got a picture up. So, look, that's a real bear. That's not a mascot. Like, that's a real bear. Like, we'll go back to Dumb and Dumber here. These guys, actually, I'll leave Mikey alone. Mikey's stayed silent on this. He doesn't want to get dragged into this. Now, Drew thinks it's a mascot.
It's like a rat.
It's like, it doesn't look like a rat. That's a real bear. I say he's dead, though. It's like he's stuffed. Stuffed bear. So sorry, Mike. I just wanted to get that out of the way. How you doing, Mike?
Have you no scruples, Gabe?
What do you mean, have I no scruples?
Do you draw the line at nothing?
Coming from a man who said that Jose Fernandez crashed a boat on purpose.
Listen, he did himself in.
Exactly. So, hey, welcome to the Fantasy Sports Network, home with no scruples.
Just between you and me, I happen to see a picture of the bear, and I think you may be right.
Yeah, okay, you see the bear now? That's not a stuff. Like, Drew's like, it's a mascot. They didn't have mascots back then. People back then weren't wusses, all right? People back then didn't see Donald Trump spray-painted on a college campus and go, that's a hate crime. You know, people weren't wusses, all right? People hung around with real bears in the old days. That's a real bear, Mike.
It's a cub.
I think he's dead, though.
So either that or he's very patient.
He's patient at the plate. All right, listen, I've got a list of things here, Mike. This is like how deep I went into with the World Series here. So let's start off. All right. So, of course, it's been 108 years since the Chicago Cubs have won the World Series. How about this, Mike? There are exactly 108 stitches on a Major League Baseball.
Now, where'd you get that information from?
That's from Spalding themselves.
I'll have to go with you. I haven't fact-checked you on that one, but we're going to have to stick the debates with Clinton and Trump.
Yeah.
Fact-check.
Fact-check nothing. My name's not Hillary Clinton, all right? You don't need to fact-check. Do I look like a Democrat to you? Do I? no need to fact-check. All right. But look it up. And actually, you know why? Because their address was 108. That was their address. All right. Cubs won the World Series, of course, 108 years ago. All right, Mike, in Back to the Future 2, the Cubs won the World Series. Running time of Back to the Future 2, 108 minutes. All right, so parcels of land and blocks, so territories and chunks of land in Chicago by the city of Chicago are named by number. The neighborhood that Wrigley is in, 108. It's unbelievable. It's like the Cubs owners, who actually hate Donald Trump. So if you're a Trump hater, cheer for the Cubs because Trump hates the Ricketts. The Ricketts own TD Ameritrade. That's how rich they are. They own TD Ameritrade. Their head office is in Omaha, Nebraska. You know what street it's on? 108th Street.
You're not superstitious, are you?
108th Avenue. Now, first off, I wonder, what are the other 107 streets in Omaha? Because, come on. Omaha, it's in between 1 and 7th Street. there's 7 streets. And, how many of you have 107 guys? Come on, man. As if you have 106 other streets in Omaha, Nebraska. But, no. Come on, Mike. Am I freaking you out yet? You getting creeped out?
This is a little like the Lincoln Kennedy thing here, but I'm willing. You're convincing a little bit.
Oh, well, you need more?
Well, you got something else? Hit me.
I'm out with the 108 stuff. I got this. Only one man has ever managed the Cubs to a World Series victory. Frank Chance. And get this, Mike, he was born before the light bulb was invented. Last time the Cubs...
Listen, there is nobody in North America alive who actually ever saw them win.
It's going to be like Bills fans. All right, only 46 states in the union, and this might be the weirdest one yet. And in today's day and age, with a bunch of jerk-off internet trollers out there, that this would be manipulated, that it's not true. But it is true, because people on Reddit investigated this, and people on Reddit are never wrong, Mike. So in 1993, a kid in high school, look at this. Michael Lee, in 1993, in Arizona in high school, said, Cubs, World Series champions, 2016. You heard it here first.
You know what? I actually saw that. Like, I can verify that.
Yeah. Like, it's like, you imagine the odds of that walking into the sports book? Yeah, I want to bet the Cubs win in 2000. I don't know, Mike.
Well, listen, Cleveland, I think they have the second longest drought, actually. They've got 68 years.
Yes, they do.
It's been a while for them as well.
You know what's interesting? We'll play a little trivia right now. Who's the third and fourth right behind them?
Well, it can't be any of the expansion teams.
It's you would never expect it, actually, of all the years of misery.
Do teams like the Washington Senators that went to the Texas
camp? No, but the Texas Rangers haven't won in 55 years.
All right, so I got one.
And the Houston Astros, 54 years.
Yeah,
54 years. Well, whatever, the Bills are getting right in here, too. Like, I'm getting sick of watching all these other people celebrate and end the curses, Mike. What about Buffalo, man?
Well, listen, you had four chances in a row. What do you want? You had your moment.
I know. I tell you, that last Super Bowl against the Cowboys, I thought we had it, Mike. We were winning at the half. I don't know what the hell Marv Levy told him at halftime, but it didn't work. Thurman Thomas lost his helmet. Like, it's just...
Hey, I told you, Bruce Smith told me he still doesn't know how Hostetler held on to the ball.
Yeah, neither do I. It was a safety right before the half. Bill's got a safety before the half in the Norwood game. But that's right. Bruce Smith swatted Hostetler. Hostetler fumbles that ball. It's the Bills' touchdown. Bills win the Super Bowl 100%. So can you make a case for the Indians, Mike? This 108 stuff just makes me figure, just bet on the Cubs and enjoy the moment.
Yeah, well, listen. All this hoopla about Schwarber coming back, but, the kid has struck out in more than one-third of his professional at-bats. So, I understand they have to pitch to him the other two-thirds of the time, too, but there's a good chance that he's not going to do anything. The guy's, I don't know what he had, five at-bats or whatever. And, Francisco Lindor and Tyler Naquin, they wear high-cut stirrups, so that's got to help him, no? She points for that. And, the odds are stacked against Cleveland, obviously, but, if they could get to the bullpen at all with the lead, they only got to go really five. 19 and a half, or 19 two-thirds innings, I think, that the two relievers have pitched for Allen and Miller as scoreless here. So they only got to really get to the middle of the game, and you're going to see Kluber three times. So Arrieta hasn't been himself of late. So they got a shot.
All right. Yeah, no. So they got a shot. I think the Indians are to play tonight with Kluber at plus 100. I like the under 6.5 tonight, too.
Listen, at plus 600, I can't bring myself to bet on the Cubs. I don't care about the sentimental stuff. I like chaos anyway. I want to see them lose in the bottom of the ninth inning in the seventh just for amusement because I have no vested interest. So I'm going to go plus 600 with the Indians here.
And what?
Plus, well, here's the thing. The Indians,
plus 600 for what? Exact game? Series price? What's plus 600?
No, for the series.
It's plus 175. Cubs minus 210.
Well, plus 160. It's up to 170, 175 now?
Yeah, plus 175. All right,
yeah, okay. I'm sorry. So the Cubs don't hold runners on well, particularly... You got somebody throwing tonight who can't hold anybody on first base. Now, I know he's 21-5 since opening day, but the Indians had 65 more stolen bases attempted than the Cubs, and they were thrown out three fewer times. So no team with a winning record had more stolen bases than the Indians this season with 134 and 165 attempts. You have Roger Davis, he had 43. Now, the problem here is Kipnis, he's got a bum ankle, but expect to see them trying to push the envelope when they do get on base. They haven't gotten many guys on base to put this postseason. They've been going by the home run, which has worked. But, Kluber to Miller to Allen, and you can get yourself a World Series win.
This might be the best, I didn't think about this angle before, so I haven't researched this, but this might be the best manager head-to-head matchup. I'm not going to say ever, but up there, in recent memory at least. Two great managers. One of them's won World Series before, but Maddon is known as obviously an in-game genius as well. Very, very interesting managerial decisions that'll be made. And normally,
he's not a genius. He just likes to do things different. He used to shift. Shift the most in Major League Baseball until everybody else started shifting. Now he shifts the least in Major League Baseball.
How's Tamp? Come on. You don't think that that Joe Maddon's a great manager?
Why? Because he wears glasses? Come on. Because he puts on, gives them shirts that says, let's not.
Because he wins games.
What has he ever won?
How's Tampa doing without him?
What has he ever won in his life?
He's won a lot of baseball games. He hasn't won a World Series, but he talked to me in a week, and I'll tell you what he's won.
Listen, for my part, this thing is largely fixed. Everybody wants the Cubs
to
win.
I like your style.
They gave him all the primetime games in the playoffs. The whole sentimental thing here is, I want to see the Indians stick it to him here.
No, I like your style. I like the fact that you're not buying into the Cinderella stuff. I'm a Dodger fan, and I told people the other day, too. I was like, I don't care that Eddie Vedder is cheering for the Cubs or Ferris Bueller or any of this crap. Bill Murray. Oh, good for you, Bill Murray. Have another drink.
If they had testicles like that there, they would have Bartman throw out the ball in game three.
Yeah, I agree with you, too. If the Cubs had any class, they'd invite Bartman there, but you know what? They don't. So we're going to wrap it up with this. We have an answer as far as the Bear is concerned, and this is awesome. This is just awesome. We're all sort of right. It's a real bear. But there's a guy inside the bear, which is just even creepier than anything I could have ever imagined. I told you, in the early 1900s, these guys were crazy, man. They'd have a real bear. So that was a real bear that was dead, and then they stuck a human in him. And
Eddie Goodell?
Yeah, Eddie Goodell. And then Warman just informed me that they actually tried to get a real bear and a real cub, but for obvious reasons, it didn't work, and they ended that after a couple of months. We got to get out of here, Mike. So you're taking
the
Indians, right?
Enjoy the series.
All right. There's Mike Cardano. We come back with our plays of the day. I knew that bear was real. All right, it's time for our plays of the day. We got to be fast. What a great time of the year to be alive. It's the World Series, and it's the end of the world as we know it. The curse is going to come to a close for one of these two clubs. We're going to go with I think the Cubs are going to win the World Series. I think the Indians win tonight, or I can't refuse the plus 100 with Kluber. Give me under 6.5. Let's go no run in the first inning tonight with Lester and Kluber. Shouldn't be a run. It's going to be cold. The ball's not going to travel. No run and under. I think we can go at least 2-1 in the baseball game. NBA is back. Thank God, man. All right, Moneyline Parlay, Cleveland Cavaliers, Portland Trail Blazers, Golden State Warriors, plus 108. Let's get it started with a plus money parlay. Listen, no Derek Favors, no Gordon Hayward, Richie Cunningham, howdy doody for the Jazz tonight. I'm going to lay it at 5.5 with the Trail Blazers. Spurs and Warriors. The Warriors probably cover, but I got them in the Moneyline Parlay. Maybe I'll sprinkle, but I think this game's going to go over the number. I think Golden State's going to be raining threes, and the Spurs should be able to score on the interior. Tampa Bay beats the Leafs tonight, and we'll roll the dice with the Flyers over the Sabres. Other night, you're on your own. May the winners be yours.